We live in a toilet. This is the shocking headline in today's Irish Sun in an article by Gordon Deegan about two immigrants who came to Ireland with the dream of a new life, fell on hard times and are now forced to live in public toilets in Ennis in County Clare. I'm joined from our Limerick studio by reporter Brian O'Connell, who's been to Ennis to meet one of the men, the Polish immigrant Peter Barham. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Pat.
I gather that both of these men are well known in Ennis. Did you have much trouble finding them? I know it's a small town, but it would have been pretty dark and wet when you got there.
Yeah, I didn't have any trouble, Pat. It was about 9:30 when I arrived in Ennis last night. And there really are only two prominent public toilets in the town. These are the kind of self-cleaning types of toilets with curved doors. I think they cost 25 cents to use them. So I bumped into local photographer Eamon Ward, and he had met both men earlier yesterday. In the market area, we could see the toilet had an occupied light on outside. There wasn't anybody around. There was two unopened cans of beer outside, and we knocked on the toilet door, and within minutes, Peter scrambled to his feet and opened the door. He'd made a bed underground. The toilet itself was pretty dirty inside, with human feces around the rim, and he had his shoes off, Pat, and was drying them. There was a bottle of vodka and a can of Linden Village cider on one side. He had two plastic bags which he used to wrap up his bedding. He had a coat, two small duvets and a fleece top. This was really, to all intents and purposes, his home.
And he began by telling you just how he ended up living in a toilet.
My situation is, I am the homeless person in the toilet, public toilet.
So on the ground here you have your duvet, and your, I see your shoes are up here. You're trying to dry
yes.
Your shoes, are you?
Yes, correct. Nobody coming here. Only weekend, Saturday evening, Sunday evening.
How long have you been living in here?
How long? 2 months.
Is alcohol a problem? Is that your main problem?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I am alcoholic. When I don't have the can of beer and little bit vodka, if I don't have this, tomorrow I go to hospital.
You start shaking, yeah.
Yes, I go to priest, the cathedral, and the bathroom for the shower, shaving as well.
So the priest allows you to go into
yes.
his house to have a shower and a
correct,
shave?
Correct, yes. Now I have two jackets, two the pillow, this blanket.
And one blanket you have on the ground, and then you put the second blanket on
yes,
top of
you. Yes, because, in, you know, you see?
The ground has got grooves on it, yeah.
Yeah, it's very cold.
And for 2 months you've been living here?
Yes. I must go in here at 10 o'clock, like now. Must go out 6:30. Sleep 5 hours per day. I am tired.
Saying there, Pat, is that the toilets are serviced first thing every morning, so he has to leave about 6:30. And obviously, if the occupied sign is on, nobody will bother him, and he gets in there just after 10. Now, he had worked all his life when he was living in Germany and Poland in a variety of work, from manual labour to catering. He came to Ireland in about 2007, and like many persons who have found himself homeless, he is too proud, really, to tell his family back home how things have turned out.
When I ring to Poland, I say everything is okay. You know, I lie. Sorry. But I lie because my grandmother has the 86 years old. I don't want will be dead because think about me. You know, I must help myself. That's it.
When did problems start happening in your life?
2009. I theft the alcohol. Only alcohol problem I have. That's it.
How much would you drink on an average day?
A lot.
Could you give me an example? Today, for example, can you remember how much you drank today?
Today? A bottle of vodka, many cans, a lot.
Many cans and a bottle of vodka. Well, he obviously sounds like he needs treatment, Brian, for alcohol mm-hmm. addiction. He's not in receipt of social welfare. He doesn't have enough PRSI paid. His status here has not been long enough established to get that. So he'll have to pay for any treatment that he gets himself. That's the situation.
That is the situation, and yet, meanwhile, obviously, society is picking up the tab anyway, because he has been stealing from time to time to pay for alcohol. Garda resources are taken up trying to deal with public order offences and so on. He spent a period of time in jail here on theft charges, and that, incidentally, is where he learned his English through a very good teacher he met in jail.
Then he took you to meet his friend Joseph.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a lot of English. And again, he was in a homeless hostel until recently, but had to move on. The toilet that Joseph is living in is behind the Abbey Street car park, and Peter took us to meet him. Again, Joseph was drying his shoes inside. There was a very strong odour from the toilet, as there was in Peter's case. And Joseph had a bottle of vodka by his side, and he seemed a lot colder than Peter. As Peter took us to meet him, you can hear actually at the start of the clip, Pat, someone passing in a car saying hello to Peter. So like I said, both of these men are very well known in Ennis.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, so this is the second public toilet in Ennis, and this is where your friend is living here.
Correct. Maybe he is in here, maybe not. Joseph! Otwieraj drzwi! 3-4 months.
He's been living in here 3 or 4 months. Is it cold?
Yes.
Because you're wearing a big jacket and a scarf, and you've got your sleeping bag. So you're washing your socks here, is it? Besides the sink.
Yeah. First time, Brian, I sleep in the toilet in Irish country. I never homeless Polish country. Never. I need accommodation. Only I don't want sleep the toilet. You know, it's disgusting.
Joseph, do you have family? Do you have children?
My family and the dad and the father.
And you say that people in Ennis are very good, but here you two are living in the toilets in Ennis. So
I know, it's very bad.
And how much money do you get a week? Do you get any money? You can't get social welfare.
No.
At 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, you and Joseph will get up. What's the first thing you will do?
6:30, I must wait to 7 o'clock in the church. Father Hogan, give it a sandwich, something hot to drink, you know, coffee, tea.
How long have you known your friend?
Oh my God, I live in here 7 years, so 6 years.
Now, listening to that, Brian, the local clergy have obviously been very good to the two men, giving them food and shelter on occasion, somewhere to go and wash, change their clothes, shave and so on. But surely there must be some way to get them the help they need and maybe look at whether or not they can be helped to get back home.
Yeah, I know Father Tom Hogan, who I spoke to this morning. He has done incredible work for these two men, giving them hot drink every morning, some food, and helping them out as much as you can. And the services locally are constrained in a way, Pat, because these men are in legal limbo. They don't register for social welfare. They have benefited from the help of St. Vincent de Paul, but they could only stay a certain length of time in the homeless hostel, and they actually stayed far beyond the length of time that they were due to stay. So really they're in a sort of a legal limbo. I know some families in Clare have given them accommodation for the winter months, and both of these men, Pat, have reasons for not wanting to return home. Mm-hmm. I do know from homeless agencies in cities like Cork and Dublin, they do assist many persons of Eastern European and other nationalities. So the issue here, I guess, is chronic alcoholism hampered both of their ability to work, and then the downturn has hit them very badly, leaving them stranded in a way. And I think in a small town like Ennis, you know, word travels fast and that can go against you. Of course, they have to get the alcohol treatment they need, really. I mean, that's the priority.
So finally, Brian, before you said goodnight to Joseph and Peter, you talked to them again about how the local authorities have interacted with them.
Now you will leave. Joseph stays in this toilet and you will go back to your toilet.
I go to my toilet.
You never stay in the same toilet?
No, because the Joseph, the snoring. I tell the truth.
He snores too much?
No problem in the garden. Only the problem when we drink. If we, the sober, no problem. The guard is the good person.
Okay, well look, I hope things change.
Maybe soon.
When you moved to Ireland, you were thinking a new life. This isn't the life you were
I know. I want the new life. I don't want the problem and the alcohol. I want change.
The story, the sad story of Peter and Joseph Maeve in Dublin 6 has been on. I grew up in Ennis. I know how good the people are. I know social welfare is a problem for both men, but I'd be astonished if there is no help for them, particularly in a place like Ennis. Brian, so what happens now? Because there's a huge amount of publicity attaching to them.
Yeah, well, I think now that they will have to get some sort of multi-agency approach to try and help their situation, you know. I understand that there are issues around social welfare benefit and not qualifying, but you know, Pat, we have aid agencies all over the world helping people, and we don't allow paperwork get in the way of caring for people's humanity, and I don't think that should be the case here in our own country in Ireland.
All right, Brian O'Connell, thank you very much for joining us from the Limerick studio. Now, I promised you we would return to the story of the homeless man because some weeks ago, Brian O'Connell reported from Ennis on the sad circumstances surrounding Polish national Peter Barham and his friend, a Czech national, Josef Pavelka, both of whom were living at the time in a public toilet in Ennis, County Clare. Well, two different public toilets, as it happened. The two men had alcohol problems and were unable to access social welfare payments, which made their situation all the more problematic. Well, last night, Brian O'Connell returned to Ennis, where tragically 52-year-old Josef was found dead on Saturday night. Brian met with Peter and heard how his friend's death is having an impact not just on him, but on the town of Ennis as a whole. And Brian joins us from Ennis now. Good morning, Brian.
Well, their situation obviously attracted a lot of local and national media attention, Pat, subsequently. And I understand a meeting was held between some local services shortly afterwards, and a decision was taken to transfer the men to a hostel in Galway where they would at least have some temporary accommodation. And look, while I'm sure on one level that was much better than where they had been, it probably wasn't best suited to their complex problems, and they decided themselves to return to Ennis last week. I met the younger of the two men, Peter, in Ennis last night, Pat, and he explained to me why they left Galway.
Galway is very good. I like the Galway, but we have only in the hostel only breakfast. So me and Joseph, we must organize any food for myself. Not easy. 4-5 hours walk in the city center, ask the people about, 50 cents, 70 cents for the bread, butter, ham.
And the hostel you went to in Galway, was that a homeless hostel?
No, it's tourist hostel.
And where are you sleeping tonight now?
I don't know right now. I don't know.
You will stay in a doorway, not in the toilets anymore?
Actually, in the toilet, I can't. After we go, the radio, the newspaper, you know, the toilet is the control per guardi every, 2-3 hours. So when I go to toilet, lock the door, of course, nobody come in. But knock the door, the guardi, I open. So toilet is finished.
So you stay in a doorway or you stay wherever you can find someplace dry?
Wherever is in the roof. Maybe school, maybe in here, wherever. I don't care.
It's kind of strange, Brian, because when
Tragically, late Saturday night or early Sunday morning, Peter received a phone call to say that his friend Joseph had died.
Somebody from Ennis, I don't know who, ring me, Joseph is dead. It's not good for me. He's my best friend. He's dead right now. So it's very wrong for me. Very hard. Tomorrow, try, don't think about the Joseph. You know, he's dead, so it's finished. I still live and will still live. That's it. I must think about myself right now. Who is dead is dead. Who is life is life. So I must to actually learn. So stop drink, change the life. You know, now I have the motivation. My best friend is dead because the drink. He don't have the drugs, no tablets, only alcohol. But it's the same like me. I have only 3 drugs. Tobacco, alcohol, coffee. That's it. He has only 52 years old. So he's not too old. He's dead. I have 36. When I live like Joseph, drink every day 2 bottles of vodka, I don't want. I like to life.
I like life. Well, investigations, I know.
Yeah, and I know people in Ennis are very well-meaning, Pat, and are by nature, in my experience, very generous and open people. But I think really what both men probably needed was to be somewhere secure with medical assistance and alcohol treatment. Many efforts were made, it should be said, to help both of the men in recent years. Joseph, we know, came to Ireland 6 years ago to work, like many people, in our then-booming construction industry. And Inspector Kennedy had noted that his family believed he was getting on pretty well in Ireland. He sustained a leg injury here shortly after arriving, and I think that, coupled with the downturn in the economy, dramatically impacted on his situation. I understand now Gardaí are liaising with authorities in the Czech Republic about his death. And really, I suppose, Pat, it's a very sad end to what should have been a new lease of life. I'm told he's a father and indeed a grandfather, but I haven't been able to establish that for certain.
Now, Joseph will certainly be missed by his friend Peter. They were really, really close over recent years, perhaps united by their addictions, but also finding safety and security together as a pair. And I know Peter, he spoke much about Joseph last night and spoke of his sense of loss.
I am very angry, very angry. I tell the truth right now. I, last night, cry and when I sleep 4 times about him. 4 times I cry. I don't care what the people thinking. They cry, the man, woman, whatever. I tell the truth. I cry myself 4 times about Joseph. I speak right now in the radio. But when we finish, I still silent because I don't have somebody to speak. That's it. It's not good.
For people who might want to help you, Peter, it's not good that people are giving you alcohol.
I know. But today somebody stopped the car, open the door, Peter, come, give it to me back, 4 cans of beer. I don't ask. I don't stop this car, you know.
What do you think will happen to you now, Peter? Will you get some treatment, do you think, for alcohol? Is that the plan?
Actually, yes. But I can't because I don't have any payment, any doll. I speak with the welfare officer from Limerick, organized for me. I say yes. Treatment center, hostel in Limerick, wherever. I don't want that like Joseph.
Yeah, I wasn't with Peter for very long last night, Pat, but while I was with him, 2 people came over to shake his hand and offer their sympathies. And he was telling me teenagers in Ennis have been approaching him and asking was there anything they could do. So there's a huge amount of goodwill towards him. And really you'd hope that his own life can in a way be saved now. He is only 36 years old, generally very well liked, and he's a man, from what I know of him, having met him a couple of times, of compassion and intelligence. He's just caught in the grips of alcohol addiction. And as he said, Pat, he's seen how his friend has died. He wants this to be a motivating factor in getting back control of his own life, and there's a hope he might get into a treatment program in Limerick. But, you know, there is this issue around whether or not he can access social welfare benefits, so then whether or not he can avail of treatment. And I think, like we said the last time, you know, having the right paperwork should not really be a precondition for us as a country in giving people a chance at their basic human dignity.
All right, we hope Peter gets the help he needs, but it's all about today, the sad death of Joseph Pavelka. Brian O'Connell in Limerick, thank you very much.